dignity.
Security.
Freedom.
Freedom.
Respect.
Justice.
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 Equality.
Equality.
Remedy.
Succession.
Fairness.
Fair time.
Privacy.
Right.
Well.
Peace.
Movement.
Movement.
It's my mistake. Let me make it good. I raised the wall, and I will be the one to knock it down.
Asylum.
Identity.
Family.
Home.
Conscience.
Expression.
Expression. Expression, expression,
participation,
democracy,
welfare,
work,
work,
leisure,
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 health,
education,
focus,
culture,
human rights,
Cartagena,
solidarity,
responsibility.
Fill in the border. I raised the wall, and I'm the only one. I will be the one to knock it down.
Two, one, two, three, four.
Good day to our listeners on CJTR Community Radio at 91.3 FM and welcome to everyone tuning in over the internet at cjtr.ca. Wherever you are, welcome to Human Rights Radio, hosted weekly by Amnesty International volunteers, who are a worldwide movement of people dedicated to the promotion of human rights and the safety of all human beings. We're building a world in which every person enjoys the rights included in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and other human rights standards. Our theme song is titled 30 Words, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, written and performed by REM and a global collection of musicians. And also, we were listening to Give Peace a Chance by the Plastic Ono Band. That was John Lennon and Yoko Ono and the Queen Elizabeth Hotel. I forget what the year was. Anybody remember?
No.
Okay.
But anyway. If I was there, I wouldn't remember.
But the reason for that is we are talking about peace. Yesterday, May 3rd. Oh, by the way, I'm Jim Hutchings, and I'm joined by my co-host, Mona Hill. And yesterday, May 3rd, was a great peace party. It was the 5th birthday celebration of the Regina Making Peace Vigil. To help them celebrate, we'll talk with them about the last 5 years of dedication and passion about social justice and peace. Welcome to Florence Stratton and Stephen Moore, two of the original organizers of the vigil. Welcome, the two of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome. It's great to have you back, Florence. It's good to have you here, Stephen, for the first time. Happy to have you here. Well, and happy birthday.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And I understand there's been a lot of celebration and a lot of people have been involved in wishing you, giving you birthday wishes. anniversary wishes for all the work that you've done. And the name Noam Chomsky was popping up. So you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, we did receive an email from Noam Chomsky down at MIT. He's been an inspiration to a number of us in the Vigil because of his long years of dedicated and principled activism. And so I emailed him to let him know what we were doing up here in Regina and how he'd been an inspiration to our work. And he was good enough to email us back with a few words of encouragement and good wishes for our birthday. And I know that was treasured by a number of us who've been active in the Vigil over the years.
Right. So will you have your own archives for things like this?
Yeah, we had a friend of ours, Larry, who's been a faithful member as well, taking pictures.
Larry Bergman's been on the show.
So we've been saving our leaflets that we give out every week, and I know we'll be saving the email. We had an email of support from Gord Barnes as
Gord
well.
Gord Barnes,
from
our field worker from Amnesty.
Who also sent us good wishes, and we'll be saving all of those things.
Yes.
That's great. And we'll give you a copy of the show to save, too.
All right.
Yeah. And Prairie Dog Magazine as well.
Yes.
Yeah. So you're certainly making a name for yourself in Regina, in Saskatchewan, and now, of course, internationally. And it's been 5 years, and before the show started, I asked you if you happen to know of any other group in the country that's doing what you're doing. Every Thursday, rain or shine, sleet or hail, you're out there for a half an hour at lunchtime passing out pamphlets and leaflets about social justice issues that are close to your hearts and close to the people who live here, and things that you problem solving that you want to work on because this is so important, right? And you haven't. You don't seem to know of any other organizations like that. Mm-hmm. You're very unique. Mm-hmm.
Yes, there are other weekly vigils, but I don't know of any that are handing out pamphlets on these kinds of issues on a weekly basis.
Why do you think the pamphlets are important?
I guess for me, would be two reasons. First, creating them helps inform ourselves so that we are much more informed citizens simply by going through the process of making up the pamphlets. Then the hope is that other people will take them home and consider issues from a different perspective.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it's also important that we do try when we can to encourage people to take some action if they're able to do so. It may just be a small thing, such as emailing their member of parliament or talking to their city councillor about the lack of affordable housing here in Regina. But while I agree with Florence that educating ourselves is an important one, we also want people to feel like there's something they can do. There's a positive action they can take so that we're not just delivering bad news, we're delivering good news about what people can do in order to make a difference.
I think that's a key for me. I've been an activist for many years, and one of the things that, you know, in the last few years I've been doing, which a lot of people who listen to the show are probably doing as well, is sharing this type of information over Facebook. And you end up with, a plethora of friends on Facebook that have similar thought processes as yourself, and they have same passions, and they're interested in about the same injustices, and they're social activists. And there are times when you're sharing all these issues that are occurring, but you don't know if anyone's actually doing anything. Sharing is great, information is wonderful, but what do you do with it? So I think that's one of the key value of the Making Peace Vigil, is taking that action. And you've taken many actions in the last 5 years. Let's move on and talk about some of those. What was the most important one, or maybe the most valuable one that you think, or the one that stood out in your memory as being something that maybe more people were involved in, or where you felt you maybe made a difference?
Well, I suppose the one that was closest to my heart was trying to stop the demolition of that low-rent building at 1755 Hamilton Street. There were certainly a large number of people from across the city involved. All kinds of alliances were formed. But we failed. And the building is down. There is another building up for demolition by the General Hospital, and that one will probably go very quickly because all of the tenants are now out. Mm-hmm. There are, I think, three or four other buildings very near that one, and I think we're going to have to try and stop those from being demolished. I visited the one near the General Hospital on 14th Avenue just the other day before the last tenant moved out. And aside from the misery that's being caused, you know, has been caused to tenants over all of this, that building is so beautiful. There were, you know, fireplaces with wood around them, brass fittings, claw-footed bathtubs, mm-hmm. and all of this is just going. It's painful on more than one count. Yeah.
What about for you, Stephen?
Well, there have been a number of national movements that I think we've helped contribute as well. The picture on our anniversary flyer was the Red Tent project that drew attention to the lack of affordable housing here in Regina. And I think our work is one small part of the work that's going on throughout the community to really put housing on the agenda here in Regina. We've got a municipal election coming up in the fall, and I feel quite confident that candidates who are running for mayor or council will be having to deal with the housing issue here in the city. Not solely, of course, because of what we've done, but what Florence has been talking about at 1755 Hamilton and other locations around the city has been part of what we've been trying to push both here in the community and nationwide. And so there are these issues where I feel we have been able to contribute to a broader public discussion of key issues that matter here at home and across the country.
Right. And this is the type of thing that doesn't happen overnight. We know that. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you haven't given up, it's been 5 years since we, and particularly the last, what, 2 or 3 years with the housing, substandard housing, lack of housing. And you've managed to involve a lot of people in this community, in this endeavor. And I think that's very commendable. And so it's not over yet. What other issues have you focused on besides housing?
Well, another one where I think we've seen a change across the country is the war in Afghanistan. I know that when we started, that was not a particularly popular position to oppose the war in Afghanistan.
Okay.
Now I think there has been a shift in public perception of that conflict and Canada's role in it. And that's something that I think activists across the country can take some credit for, that we pushed even when we didn't immediately see a popular response. And yet over time, opinion leaders, politicians, even military leaders have come to see that the solution that was proposed there at the beginning was not the correct one, and that the war that was being pushed was the wrong one for Canada to be involved in. And so, you know, that's another issue that for me was an important one.
Next week, we're having a Mother's Day flyer. The outside is going to say Happy Mother's Day, and then there will be the Dove of Peace. And then the inside first page is going to talk about the history of Mother's Day. And in North America, it comes from an anti-war Mother's Day proclamation written in 1870 by U.S. suffragette, abolitionist, and peace activist Julia Ward Howe. And her Mother's Day proclamation, I hope you don't mind if I read it.
You
I find
right
it
ahead.
Quite stirring.
Yes, I've actually read it in the past, and I have also, share it with us.
All right. So her Mother's Day proclamation calls on women everywhere to rise up against war. And as the following passage, which I'm going to read, as it shows, Howe's original words are as relevant now as they were in 1870 when they were written. Arise, then, women of this day. Arise, all women who have hearts. Whether our baptism be of water or of tears, our husbands will not come to us reeking with carnage for caresses and applause. Our sons will not be taken from us to unlearn all that we have been able to teach them of charity, mercy, and patience. We, the women of the country, will be too tender of those of another country to allow our sons to be trained to injure others. From the bosom of the devastated earth, a voice goes up with our own. It says, disarm, disarm. The sword of murder is not the balance of justice.
Yeah. Very powerful words.
Yes. And then the third page of the flyer is going to deal with the war in Afghanistan and where we are now. And Stephen is going to be working on that.
Yeah, I think this is an example of how doing the flyers helps us educate ourselves. I think a lot of people may not know about the origins of Mother's Day. Julia Ward Howe was writing in the aftermath of the carnage of the American Civil War and had seen what that had done to that country and was obviously moved as she was to defend women's rights, but to defend the rights of all people by calling for an end to the haste with which we seem to resort to war to solve our conflicts around the world.
Absolutely. I see that you have a flyer from the past, Florence, and that was on my mind. The second one under in your list, they're workers.
Right.
About workers, and we've just recently passed through May 1st, May Day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is another issue that I think has been, it's been important to me. I know it's been important to Florence, and it's going to be an important one going forward. The title of this one was Workers' Rights Are Human Rights.
Right.
And we chose the last week of April as the week during which we would put this flyer out, because April the 28th is the National Day of Mourning here in Canada for people who are killed or injured in the workplace. And, of course, we recently had that mill explosion out in British Columbia that drew attention to this issue. But we also see provincial and federal government who are continuing to take measures to undermine workers' rights with measures aimed at unions' right to collect dues and things of that kind. So this was something we thought was very, very topical and very urgent.
What kind of response did you have to that? Was it any different than any of the other issues, or what kind of conversation did you have with people when you were out there?
Well, I remember someone coming by and almost giving us a high five, saying that's, you know, way to go, as we were handing this leaflet out. I mean, generally our response is positive on the Scar Street Mall, but no, we certainly did have a good response to this one. I think people recognize that the rights of workers to organize themselves democratically are fundamental human rights, and they touch on freedom of speech, freedom of association, and they're rights that we all enjoy and need to protect. And when they're being taken away from workers, they're being taken away from all of us.
You know, when I think about my history as a young woman looking for work out of high school and going to apply for an entry-level position with an insurance company in Winnipeg, and going through the process of having the interviewer say to me, well, are you married? Do you have any children yet? And my response was yes, no. Well, then why would I hire you? Since you're, if I hire you, I'm just going to have to train you and pay for all that. Then you're going to get pregnant and you're going to quit. And you can't do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, it was devastating to me. And there was nowhere to go to complain either, by the way, back then. It was a long time ago. But I can understand the importance of this. A lot of people don't understand that our rights, people who, the detractors, don't understand that our wages, our benefits, the things that we have that give us a half-decent life in this country are due to those people who struggled, and some lost their lives over trying to forge this path to equality for workers. So I think that's very admirable.
Yeah, just to draw a parallel with the origin of Mother's Day, I think in North America, the May Day holiday traces its roots back to the struggle for an eight-hour workday.
Mm-hmm.
And
there you go.
We now take it for granted that I only have to work 8 hours a day, or I only have to work 40 hours. There are such things as weekends. That was not always true, and it took many, many years of struggle from ordinary people doing grassroots work that may not always have seemed to bear fruit in the short term before we made the progress that we have made so far and that we need to safeguard for the future.
Right, which is part of what you're doing, too. You know. Okay, the next one I wanted to talk about was detraction. Do you have detractors? Do you have people that walk up to you and read your pamphlets or listen to you? And, you know, not everybody's happy about public public performances, as they might say. You know, what are you doing out here? Does that happen very often?
Not very often, but, you know, occasionally. Don't you have something better to do?
Go get a job?
You know, but the general response is quite positive. Okay. Quite a few people say thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Occasionally they offer us money.
Oh, and do you take money?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it helps pay for our photocopying costs.
Right.
So that's
right.
All of that is taken care of from our own resources.
Right.
So donations such as that are welcome from
Do you receive any donations from any corporate donations or any government donations or anything like that?
Well,
totally autonomous group.
That would be unlikely, I think, given the topic.
Very unlikely, and we would turn it down. Should,
okay. I just thought I would ask, because people might be wondering how you're funded. I think a lot of it comes out of your own pockets, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, people throw in money every once in a while, and that covers the costs. Our only costs are
the
printing,
photocopying.
Photocopying, and a birthday cake once a year.
All right. How was the cake this year?
It was delicious. It had very thick fudge icing on it.
Oh, yummy.
It was very popular.
Yeah, it was very popular.
All right. Okay, we have what? How much time, Jim?
About 4 minutes.
4 minutes left, okay. What else do you want to talk about from the last 5 years that was very, very important to you? She's going through her list here.
Well,
we've covered war, we've covered housing. What about that one there, racism in Regina?
Yeah, well, that's...
I saw that one.
Yes, well, it was on the news last summer that, you know, a man drowned in Wascana Lake, and the probable cause of his death was racism. He'd gone swimming when he disappeared from sight. A friend approached a number of people in the park asking for help, but because he was poorly dressed and Aboriginal, his calls for help were met with suspicion, and it wasn't until he approached a group of Aboriginal people that the man's friend found someone willing to place a 991 call, a 911 call, and by that time it was too late. His body was then recovered from the lake. That's simply an example. Regina, like other places in Canada,
is
rife with racism. It's systemic. It's in our organizations, institutions, the courts, the law. It's everywhere. But we don't seem to realize that we would treat this case, the drowning, as, you know, an isolated example. But it's not. It's just part of the fabric of our society, and if we don't recognize it, we're not going to get rid of it. Mm. Not going to be able to resist it or fight it.
Right. Mm-hmm. And when that occurred, and you had this pamphlet for that, what kind of response did you get?
I think people took it quite soberly. Yeah, I mean, they were interested. We usually hand out about 140 pamphlets every week over a half-hour period, and that's that stays pretty stable.
Okay.
I mean, if it's 40 below, maybe there's a few people out there to take it. But
sometimes you have close, you know, sometimes it's 200 pamphlets. Okay. Right. The whole run of pamphlets goes.
Yeah.
So, and then some are also afterwards distributed to other locations around the city, churches, and so forth, and so there's a way to spread the message there, too.
The one that really flew out of our hands was the Occupy movement.
That's the one I was going to get to.
Yeah, we really, really wanted to get some information on it.
And you did connect with the Occupy movement, right?
Yeah.
If I could just quickly say, I know we're close
and we can
here,
continue after the break,
I think
break
one
too.
Of the very important things is the alliances among groups and activists that the Making Peace Vigil has allowed us to do. We send out, or Florence sends out an email once a week just giving a report on what happened that week, but it also contains lots of information about other activities that are happening around the city, whether that's on housing or, you know, protecting our public library workers or school closing, what have you. And that's, I think, a real resource for people in the city that helps build solidarity across the community.
Absolutely. And I get those emails every week from Florence, and I really count on them, actually, to help with this show, with Human Rights Radio. It's been a big help. We'll pass the show over to Jim, and we'll come back after our break. This is Mona Hill and Jim Hutchings for Amnesty International and Human Rights Radio.
Together,
Hill, and I'm here with Jim Hutchings, and we're here with the Regina Making Peace Vigil. And that happy birthday song was to wish the Making Peace Vigil in Regina a happy fifth birthday. They've been around for quite a while now. How many Thursdays is that that you're out there? There was a number I saw somewhere.
There was.
I thought you said 260.
Yeah, 260. Yeah.
260 days of activism in downtown Regina on all sorts of issues. We covered a few of them before the break, and we'd like to move on and talk a little bit more about the information that Florence Stratton, and I should mention that Florence Stratton is here and Stephen Moore are here as well from the Vigil, that you send out a weekly sort of a check sheet of things that are coming up, things that are going on in the city, political actions that are taking place, social justice activities. And I just thought I'd go through this a little bit to give people an idea of what it is that you send out. I have to find the right one here now. Let's see. Where are we here? Okay, so this is an events list. Thursday, May 3rd, Friends of Regina Public Library, General Meeting, Westminster United Church. Friday, May 4th, Why is Crime Drama So Popular? A panel discussion, Language Institute, Theater, University of Regina. And the author, Gail Bowen, will takes up quite a few social justice issues that the Vigil is also concerned about. And then we have one Saturday, May 5th, at noon, Candidates Training School, United Way Office. Saturday, May 5th and Sunday, May 6th, Jane's Walks. And this is hundreds of Reginans will take to the streets over their fourth annual Jane's Walk, a series of free neighborhood walking tours that explore our collective history, architecture, planning, and personalities. So that's just a sample of some of the campaigns that are going on, the events. So you also have actions as well, right? Mm-hmm. So we've got events and we've got actions. I think my pages are all confused here. Campaigns. You've got new campaigns coming up. Let's move forward and talk about now rather than the past and in the future. And there are campaigns, and the first one on your list is a new football stadium. What do you think about that?
Not much. I think the city of Regina has its priorities upside down. You ask them to do something about affordable housing, and they say that's not a municipal responsibility. Stadiums, however, seem to be, from their point of view, such a responsibility. They are insisting on the stadium. They're insisting on lots of public money being put into it, while many Reginians are having to choose between eating food or buying food and paying the rent because of the housing crisis in the city. It's a boom time for some people, but it's a bust time for others. And I'm ashamed, very ashamed to be living in a city where there is increasing suffering and misery because of the lack of affordable housing.
Definitely a connection. The thing that occurred to me with the recent announcement that the money would come from our taxes for the new stadium is initially, correct me if I'm wrong, our civic government stated that we wouldn't have to worry about that as citizens, and because it would be private investors that would build our stadium for us. And what occurred to me when the announcement came out, was it last week or earlier in the week, that we're going to have to pay for the stadium, is what happened to those private investors and why aren't they interested in it? Generally, when a corporation, when a business invests in something, it's because they think they're going to get something back. Nobody invests in something that they're going to that they won't benefit from. So if they're not interested because they don't believe they're going to benefit from it, how will we benefit from it other than having football games in a new stadium?
I am a Ryder fan.
Oh, you sure are. I know that. And you even have a Riders for Peace shirt.
Yes, maybe quite a few people at the Vigil have Ryder Fans for Peace t-shirts. But the Riders have a perfectly good stadium. I mean, maybe it needs to be refurbished a bit, but that's not going to cost however many million that they're talking about. It's their traditional home. Why move from such a place, which people are attached to? There's no need. Where there is an enormous need for affordable housing, neither of those things are money makers. So the private sector is not going to invest in either stadiums or affordable housing. The government, we've already got a stadium, so we don't need any further investment except perhaps with some refurbishment. But the government, at one level or another, needs to put money into affordable housing.
It seems to always come back to that, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. What else have you got in the future here that you'll be looking at as far as the vigil goes?
Well, we do. I'm still on housing. We have actually, to go back to the stadium, I think it would be great if as many people as possible could email the premier and various ministers, their MLAs, and say we don't want our tax money to go into a stadium. That would be an action that people could take. We have another affordable housing campaign going called Affordable Housing Now! We're asking people to take flyers about Regina's housing crisis into their places of worship. And these flyers, again, ask people to take action either in relation to, you know, the province or the city. With the city, there's a municipal election coming up, so maybe we can make sure that housing is right at the top of the agenda.
Yes, there will be debates, I'm sure, in the future. Do you know of any that are planned currently? They'll be coming up, though, won't they?
Surely they will be in the fall.
This has to be at the top of the list.
I think the environment will be another issue that we'll be returning to on an ongoing basis as we go forward. We've got a government that seems to be bent on constructing these pipelines through environmentally sensitive areas in Western Canada or maybe down through the southern United States, and a government that doesn't seem to be all that keen on taking action on climate change, that's done things like muzzle Environment Canada scientists. So I think the environment is going to be an issue both at the provincial and the federal level that the Peace Vigil has addressed in the past. We've talked about a range of things, climate change, uranium mining. There's been a range of issues.
Yes.
And I'm sure that we'll be returning to issues like that in the future.
Yeah. Well, there is tar sands development going on in northern Saskatchewan, and there's fracking about to start in southern Saskatchewan. And even more locally, there's the pesticide issue.
Oh, yes.
Actually, they've been doing fracking in southeastern Saskatchewan for years now.
Have they?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And there is a lot of new evidence coming out from other provinces and some of the states that the fracking is causing damage to the environment as well. It's something that's very dangerous, and they're talking about stopping it. But it seems that oftentimes I feel like we're sort of in the we're in the background, or historically speaking, we're not catching up with the rest of the world in terms of, well, when you think of prisons, when you think of these plans coming out of the federal government in terms of building more prisons and taking money away from education, and we know that this is not going to work. We know it's not working. Same with environmental issues. This is a huge issue for us here in Canada.
Yeah, there was a recent report, I think, from the Suzuki Institute that said that Saskatchewan was a laggard in terms of action on climate change and greenhouse gas emissions. And so whether it's on that issue or the issues that you're talking about with respect to the correction system, there's a lot of work to do. I think the ombudsman here in the province was recently warning about overcrowding in jails, and this leads to all kinds of problems. I mean, it really interferes with the programming that can be offered to inmates to help them with their rehabilitation or their reintegration back into the community. And the federal government, unfortunately, seems to be bent on a corrections policy like its environmental policy that just really goes against the evidence. And one of the small things we try to do with our leaflets is try and put some evidence in front of people. When I guess it was Orwell who said that in a time of universal deception, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. So try to put out some information when we seem to have governments that are not keen on making decisions based on information.
Have you had any input or response from government about what you're doing ever? Whether it be negative or positive?
We've encouraged individual people to contact their MLAs or members of parliament, so they may have received input, but I don't think as a group we've received
anything
that way.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's talk about I wanted to go back to the actions, to the list of events coming up in Regina. This actually is a fantastic list that Florence puts together. Every week you can get it in your email. How can they contact you if they're interested in finding out what's happening in Regina in terms of, most of the time, social justice issues? And even recently I've noticed that you also have included the fact that there's a young man who's missing. Cody Wolf, who was seen a year ago on April 29th, and they're still looking for him. His family is looking for him, and they don't know where he is. So you've included this as well, missing people. How can they get in touch with you if they would like to receive this email? Only once a week, it'll give you information about what's happening in Regina and how the people can get involved, because you post the information and then you post possible actions for solutions.
Right, it's twice a week, actually.
Oh, twice a week.
We do try and keep the email. Try and keep the email to a minimum, but it is twice a week. Just email me. It's Florence, FLORENCE, dot Stratton, STRATTON, at uregina.ca, and I will add you to the list. And you can also, anybody who's listening who has events that they would like to see on this list could send them to me, and I will likely add them.
What about people might have information or they might have ideas for the vigil to take on? What about that?
Well, that would be wonderful, too. I mean, we're not that we're running out of issues, but suggestions are always welcome.
Okay, great. Do you have a Facebook page?
No, we have a website, so you can look us up on the web at makingpeace.wordpress.com.
Okay.
And we post the flyers there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Makingpeace@wordpress.com?
No,
makingpeace.wordpress.com. Okay, excellent. So if you have any ideas or you would like to join in, on the Regina Making Peace Vigil, you're welcome, more than welcome to. I've always wanted to be there, but I can't get away from work. So tell me how many members you have right now that sort of are active every week.
Well, we have an email list of over 100, but how many are active for the birthday bash? I think about 24 people showed up. On a regular basis, there's somewhere between 6 and 12 of us every week. Yeah. Does that sound about right?
No, that's about right. Yeah, we had a couple of dozen out for the event yesterday, so it was a good turnout.
Oh, great. Yeah, that's good. And I was going to say that, there's more information here that came in the email, and one of them involves Amnesty International, so I'm going to read this. And I mentioned it last week as well. On Tuesday, May 15th, which is in 2 weeks, starting at 5 p.m., Amnesty International will be having our fundraising steak night. You can also get a veggie burger if you're vegetarian, and you can help the human rights work at Regina Amnesty, and you can help our community undertake fundraising by supporting this steak night fundraiser. And tickets are $25. That includes a 6-ounce sirloin steak, Caesar salad, hand-cut fries, and their fries are so good at Bushwhackers. Garlic toast and a 12-ounce Bushwhacker beer, or a house-made veggie burger, hand-cut fries, and Caesar salad. And you can call me at 586-1938 if you want to get a ticket to help support us. Or Gord Barnes is our field worker, 585-0889, and we have tickets for you. The other thing I wanted to mention is, we have a letter writing night at Atlantis Coffee Shop on Victoria Avenue downtown, San Victoria and Hamilton. Every Tuesday night at 7 p.m., members from the Amnesty Group in Regina get together and they write letters on current actions and appeals that Amnesty International is focusing on, and you can come out and we can teach you how to do this. We can help you learn about these appeals and actions and give you some suggestions as to how to do it. And you can be part of making a difference in people's lives, perhaps even saving people's lives, because that's what Amnesty is all about. We do not accept any kind of funding from any government, because we must remain
nonpartisan. Neutral.
That's it. Yes. Neutral. Yeah, we must remain neutral.
Independent.
Yeah, from government. So if we don't get any funding from corporations or anything like that. So go for it. Go, come to our steak night and help us out. And if you have anything to donate as far as a silent auction item, we'd be happy to take that off your hands too. Okay. And what time have we got, Jim?
Oh, we've got 10 minutes.
10 minutes. Okay, let's move forward. What about the future of the Making Peace Vigil? Where do you see yourselves in another 5 years from now?
Well, I assume the issues are still going to be there, unfortunately.
But no, we won't solve housing in 5 years.
Well, we certainly hope that something will be done about this affordable housing crisis, because there is just so much misery. But there do seem to be endless issues. The kind of world we live in, it's not a very good place.
I hope it's five more winters like the winter we just had.
Oh, maybe, yes.
I put it
yes.
that way. But no, I agree with Florence that we're going to continue to face a range of issues, from environmental issues to issues of international peace and justice to issues of social justice, poverty, racism, things like that here in Saskatchewan and in Regina. Mm-hmm. And I do think that over time, we are going to be able to sow the seeds that are going to bear fruit in the future. And so I look forward with optimism to more years of activism on the Scarth Street Mall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To return to the environmental issues,
sure.
I might want to bring up the pesticide issue. Regina is one of the few cities in Canada that has not got a pesticide ban. Saskatchewan is one of the few provinces that doesn't have a pesticide ban, and I don't get it. I mean, the Canadian Cancer Society says research linking pesticides to serious health issues is significant and growing. I mean, that's all you need to know.
Yeah.
City Council is considering the issue for the second time. Maybe they will pass a ban this spring, let us hope. But apparently they're not going to implement it for 3 years if they do pass it. I mean, if the Canadian Cancer Society says that, there's nothing more to be said as far as I'm concerned.
I've been on the same wavelength as that for many years. Mm-hmm. When you consider cancers, when you consider chronic illnesses, and the fact that so many people end up being blamed for their own ill health. You're not looking after yourself properly. You're not eating properly. Mm-hmm. You don't get enough rest. You don't get enough exercise. And when you end up looking at cancers, other illnesses, I've often thought, well, wait a minute. You know, maybe we shouldn't be blaming the victims. Mm-hmm. Maybe we should be blaming what we're putting into our air. Mm-hmm. I remember as a child playing in clouds of DDT on my street in the middle of the afternoon when I was a little girl. You know, they would take the truck down the street and the guys would have the big hoses and they'd be spraying the trees in Winnipeg for canker worms. And nobody told us ahead of time that they were coming. Nobody said, close your windows, keep your kids in. And I remember coughing and coughing and the kids were screaming and laughing and running around in these clouds of DDT. Well, they have stopped using that, but they certainly have not stopped using other harmful toxic chemicals. Are you going to take on asbestos? I mean, I know that's not necessarily a local issue, but have you talked about that?
I think we've mentioned it, but we haven't taken it on as a...
Well, this is, if I could come back to the workers' rights issue,
I
believe
absolutely.
There are every year during the list of people named publicly who have died from workplace injuries are people who've developed mesothelioma as a result of exposure to asbestos. And this is a kind of workplace injury that does not appear obvious at the time the person is exposed, but only becomes evident later on. And so I think when we see that our country is still one of the countries involved in the production of asbestos, we have to ask ourselves at what cost the profit from that kind of industry exists when we see that there's a human toll years or even decades after people who are exposed to a toxic chemical like that become ill.
Mm-hmm. Another issue, I'm just wondering whether the Peace Vigil has had a chance or whether you're able to monitor it at all, is the Human Rights Commission here in Saskatchewan. It's gone through some troubling changes, and I'm just wondering if there's any way that the Peace Vigil could do anything positive there to inform the government, the kind of bad trend that's been happening here.
Yes, that certainly is an issue we should be taking up, and we will. do so.
I think a flyer on that would be really good to inform people of the changes that have been made and what's not available anymore to our citizens because of the changes with the Human Rights Commission.
Would Amnesty be able to provide us
Absolutely.
With... Okay.
We certainly
We're
could.
On.
Yeah, for sure. We got 5 minutes left. Oh, one thing I was going to say is I posted your Florence sent out a list of what you can do with dandelions. And it was wonderful. I copied and pasted it on Facebook. So if anybody wants to find Mona Hill on Facebook, it's really lengthy. All the things that you can do with dandelions, instead of using pesticides to get rid of them, I just throw them in my compost. But I might start making dandelion wine or something. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I had my first dandelion salad not too long ago.
How was it?
Fine. It tasted exactly like lettuce.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the texture was slightly different, but taste, it was identical.
All right. And I hear you can cut the roots up if you can get enough root out. Put them in soup. It's a vegetable,
right.
isn't it?
And you can make coffee out of the roots.
That's interesting.
Looking at dandelions through different eyes.
Right. I once wrote a little poem because my little boy, I don't know how many years ago it was, walked in the front door and said, Mom, I have a surprise for you. And it was just a handful of beautiful, bright, sunshiny dandelions. And that was the first time I had a different perspective because it brought him great joy. And we can find great joy in things. You know, we've been talking about a lot of social issues that bring people a lot of pain, and you know, victimized people are victimized about poverty issues and pesticides and health issues and that sort of thing. But there's also a lot of joy that if we can continue to do this sort of thing with the hope in mind that it will make positive change in the future, so people can have some adequate housing, people can have maybe a living wage, so they don't have to necessarily live in poverty. People don't have to worry about sending their sons and daughters off to war and seeing those boxes come home. I think there's hope for the future, and I believe that organizations like the Regina Making Peace Vigil are a key, an absolutely important key to making those changes, because you're out there in public. You're not just hitting share on Facebook, which does help. I believe it helps because it's educational. But out there in public, so that people who may not ever understand what's really going on with some of these issues finally start to get a little bit of an education and get a little bit of curiosity. And that was a question I wanted to ask you. Have you ever had anybody come and say, I want to join your group because of the pamphlets that I've read from you?
Yes.
Fascinating.
I think the pamphlets are a big draw. I mean, you know, people do find them useful. Yeah.
What did you want to say before we leave, Stephen? What's important to you, the most important things to you?
Guess I'd just like to leave with a message of optimism. I think change takes a long time, and it is a small group of dedicated people that will lay the groundwork for change. I think about reading Noam Chomsky's descriptions of how his initial activism against the Vietnam War might see him in some small church talking to two or three people. But over time, it turned into a larger movement that changed the course of history in a more positive direction. You talked about playing in clouds of DDT when you were a child. Since the publication of the book Silent Spring, that helped launch the environmental movement, that doesn't happen anymore. And things are far from perfect, but we can change them over time if we take small actions.
Right.
And if we all work together, I think there's a brighter future ahead.
And Florence, if people want to get the pamphlets to take to their places of worship or their places of work or anywhere else they would like to take them out about your actions for the future, where can they get them?
Again, email me. I'll repeat the email address, Florence, F-L-O-R-E-N-C-E dot Stratton, S-T-R-A-T-T-O-N, at uregina.ca.
Keep up the good work, and thank you for being with us.
Well, thank you for
inviting us. Go out to Scar Street in Regina every Thursday at noon and say hi to the Making Peace Vigil. And happy birthday.
Thank you.
Thank you.
As we close this week's Human Rights Radio on CJTR Community Radio, we hope you've enjoyed listening to and have learned something new about human rights for all people. For info on past and upcoming shows with links to human rights actions and information, go to amnestysaskatchewan.ca. Peter Benenson, the founder of Amnesty International, often said, "It's better to light a candle of hope than to curse the darkness."